Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah, yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go. Call your mama and them, Poochie and Ray Ray. We are on the air. Let's go. Jackson, Mississippi. Where y'all at? Jackson, Mississippi of the West Coast, Fresno, where y'all at? Y'all in.
This guy.
It's on fire. Hey, man. What's up? Y'all doing good? America, welcome to another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. As you can see, we're up to no good, but it's all in fun. September the 20th, shout out to a lot of birthday folks. Shout out to my aunt Bridget. Happy birthday to her. You know, she's celebrating 21. No, I'm joking. She's amazing. Happy birthday to her. Shout out to Gina Ford. Obviously, Rob's lovely wife, her birthday was last week. So, again, just a lot of love. So, again, good stuff. You know, we took care of them, all that fun stuff. The wallet's probably a little lighter, yeah. But, again,
right,
a
JQ.
Lot of love for that. Money. Let's do what we always do. Let's go around the room, check in with everybody. We got a lot of sports to talk about. Rob putting 35 topics on there. He must think we're going to go to 3 o'clock in the morning, but it's all good. Hey, so let's check in with the fellas. JQ shaking his head, multitasking. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, it sucks. Now I got to sit here and listen and watch Curtis and Gary smile and giggle at me. But I give them congrats. They won a hard-fought game. They had a good plan. So I can't say a whole lot. It's just, you know, one of us is going to be a little disappointed today. But, you know, it is what it is. Don't look good, but I guess, you know, you got to keep moving. See if you can come back. But, I mean, I'm good outside of that. Just work stuff going on, trying to make sure I keep an eye on that while it's happening. So.
Absolutely. I was going to say 2 words, Cooper Rush, but I'm going to say that for Curtis and Gary, too. But,
The kid say it. He did his thing. You can't. We make fun of him.
Yeah,
he played a good game.
Did not see that come. Like, who is this guy? And then look at Gary. He's all happy.
Michael
he
Parsons,
his amazing
man.
Husband T-shirt.
He's acting a plum fool. Michael Parsons. He got.
Yeah.
After
yeah.
2 weeks, he's in the conversation for defensive player of the year. After 2 weeks.
Nice. In the conversation.
Stuff.
Yeah, he's leading that conversation.
Oh. Rob Ford on fire.
Hey.
How you feeling this evening, sir?
Doing great, man. Having in Tallahassee, man. Still trying to dig up some dirt on JQ. Haven't quite found anything just yet, but trying to see where's dirt's at. And no, just kidding. But all is well. Had a nice
long
Tallahassee tonight. Would you say JQ?
I said, long since been buried. You got to go into some layers to get to that dirt, baby. It's been like 27 years.
Transition DNA testing over there. We love it.
Yeah. Hey, no.
No.
I didn't say that.
Man.
I'm going to quickly switch gears. Curtis and Gary, how you guys doing this evening?
We're doing good. Curtis has been studying these football games for me.
Okay.
I had a funeral to go to this weekend for my aunt. My aunt passed away, so.
Sorry to hear that, Gary.
Watched what I could, you know, but. Yeah, that was a tough weekend, but we're back at it. We're here with the boys. The fellas, I'll say. So we're happy to be here with you.
Good stuff. Appreciate you, and we always appreciate your service and what you're doing for Curtis and everything like that, too. So, again, Good stuff. Love the T-shirt, too, as well. So, again, way to highlight Amazing Hutchinson. So I don't even know the date, but that's good stuff, man. So,
wait a minute. I can't see it. What does the T-shirt say?
It says Amazing Husband Since Whatever Year. What year? Since 2000. Legendary status over there. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, I bought it myself.
Yeah, I bet you did.
It reminds me, hey, Ben, this is what you're dealing with right now. Oh, man. I'm going to show that to Marcy. She'll get a kick out of that. Really quickly, just to show out, just to throw out the numbers and how to find us and all that fun stuff. We always are here pretty much consistently on Tuesday, Wednesday, one of those nights. Again, we're here to represent. Calling the show, the 424-243-9519 is the number. Follow us on the Twitter, as the kids say, after number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook.com/TalkingSports with the 12th Man or 12th Man Sports. You will find all of our posts. Posting mock drafts. I know Rob put an NBA draft up there, or he put something on there too. The page I was looking at there too. You put something up there, so I got to check what you put up on there. All the
NBA
draft.
I didn't put an NBA draft.
Yeah. You put something on there. Hold on, I missed something. Hold on, you posted something. If I'm missing something here, but I know you posted something pretty recently, so I'll check that again. But post shows topics, all that fun stuff are there, and we are good to go. So. And that's on me. I'll check that because I know I just saw something here when I was posting the show topic tonight too. So it is. Are you posting the draft prospects? So the 2023. Okay, that's what I'm doing. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
I got
week.
You.
Yeah,
I wanted to make sure I was saying the right stuff too. So I saw some of you posted something. Good stuff. All right, let's get this party started here. We got to talk about the top five NFL teams, if you will, and this is going to be great coming around the room because again, I always love this because. Everyone's going to have some thoughts about subjectivity. And right now, my number one team could be 1A, 1B. I've got the Buffalo Bills in the number one spot right now. You talk about what they did. They came out. I'm still going to show some love for that first pick over the Rams. They pretty much showed they're ready to play. And, again, a pretty dominating performance against the Tennessee Titans. Not that we didn't think that the Titans were going to be all that, but just the way that they dismantled the Titans. It was pretty impressive, obviously. Number two squad is the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, just Patrick Mahomes is playing out of his mind. And again, just good stuff to see how he's playing. Number three, this is a very surprising as part of our topics, is the Philadelphia Eagles. I like their play. You can see the confidence. The coaching staff is doing fantastic. And Jalen is answering a lot of questions, too, with what's happening. And you got to like the play calls that's happening. See Nick Sirianni doing some good stuff with them. My number four team is an actual surprise. Number four, I'm going to throw it actually to the Miami Dolphins. The reason why I'm putting the Dolphins up there, obviously, a great comeback against the Baltimore Ravens. Again, just to see them come up. And actually, Jalen Waddle's coming out, Tyreek Hill. You talk about Mikey McDaniel. I got him on one of the up-and-coming rising coaches, too. Just see that he's coaching. And again, that defense has been pretty solid. They needed a nice running game. And I believe that Tua is actually answering a lot of questions as well. So that's just good to see him playing. So that's my surprise. Number five, as much as I hate putting the damn Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I put all the 2-0 teams in there because you can kind of, again, battle if you think the Chargers or whatever, too. But I've got Tampa Bay in there, 2-0. Obviously, exercising the demons, beating the Saints, and that's kind of where I have. I didn't really want to put them in there, but I just figured all about 2-0 teams. But, again, that's what I've got for the top five. I'm sure everyone has different thoughts, but I'll go around there and get your thoughts on that and go from there. So I'll kick it to you, JQ, and your thoughts as far as that as well.
No, I can't really hate on that. I think I might switch the Eagles and the Chiefs because what you said, Jalen has come out, and he came out and said, oh, yeah, Minnesota in that defense, which you did to Brett Favre, to Aaron Rodgers. Check this out. He just balled it out in that first half, especially. And Darius Slay, what I talked about last week, I want to take the Eagles at home. I figured he would have a decent game, barring Justin Jefferson. But, man, like two picks, and, like, you can't really shut Justin Jefferson down. But he did as good a job as you can do. And then that's why I always wonder. You know, he took the challenge as the top cornerback and to follow him around. I'm super impressed with the Dolphins. That comeback, man. Wow, against a very good Ravens team. But, again, I think the Dolphins, for that reason, with the Ravens, had a whole lot of injuries in their secondary. And Chuba and Tyreek and Waddle just went completely bonkers in that second half. They could be, you know, the Bengals of this year, one of those teams that you say, yeah, okay, maybe. But, you know, they went and got, you know, made all the right moves. And as for a rookie head coach, he's doing a good job. Because you look at what's happening in Denver with Hackett, and he's terrible. He's making me really question my Denver pick because I didn't think he was going to be that bad. So, I mean, I can't quibble with what you have there. The Rams, I would like to see them, you know, put the Falcons away if you're going to put them in that top five. But the Falcons get back in that game for no good reason. So that kind of took them down a step for me. So I don't have a problem with your top five. I think I would just slightly shuffle, and that's nitpicking Kansas City and Philadelphia. And it could be a recency bias because we just saw Jalen Hurts do it last night.
Right, correct, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the same five teams, but just not in those orders. Buffalo, by far, is number one in my opinion. I think there's a gap between one and two right now. I think Buffalo is by far the best team in the league right now after 2 weeks in the season. When you look at what Josh Allen is doing and Stephon Diggs and what they're doing offensively, and then when you look at what they're doing from the defensive side of the football as well, man, they're deep on the defensive line, deep as any team in the league on the defensive line. So I think by far they're the number one team. I have Philadelphia at the number two spot. When you look at Jalen Hurts, when you look at the weapons he has now with Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and then when you look at, you know, you are already touched on it, Darius Slay and how well he played on the defensive side of the football as well. I have the Eagles in the number two spot. I have Tampa in the number three spot. I hate to say it too, but Ty Bowles has been playing lights out defensively right now. And I got to give them credit. So I got them in the number three spot. I have Miami in the number four spot. Tua, Jalen Waddle defensively. They have some impact players as well. And then number five, I have the Chiefs in the five spot. And the only reason I have Chiefs number five, they did win that football game, but the Chargers shot themselves in the foot that game. Shot themselves in the foot in that game the other night. I thought they outplayed the Chiefs, my personal opinion. But the Chiefs won the game. They found a way to win it. They got a pick six. And so I got them at the number five spot right now. So that's my top five.
Well, I have the Bills at number one, and I do think they're the most complete team in the league. And I do think it's not a 1A and 1B between the next team. It's one and then, you know, three, four, five.
Everybody
six,
else.
You know, but I've got Kansas City in my second spot. Mahomes is showing us even with less talent, he can still make shit happen. I've got the Bucks.
Nice.
Nobody wants – we all want Tom Brady to retire, you know, but I had to put him in there. And the worst team – the team that I hated to put in the top five were the Eagles.
Yeah.
And as of right now, they're in the top five. At week 10, I don't think that's going to be the case, but right now they're in the top five. And then in – so they're at four, and I've got – Miami in at the number five spot. And I do think Miami could make some noise this year. And aren't the Bills in Miami play this week?
They
up?
Do. Yeah. Yeah, big game.
That's gonna be gonna be fun to watch.
Bills
that
traveling
one,
to one. Miami. Yeah, for that one.
Yeah.
Good. Good stuff.
So that's what I got for my top five. You know, as far as Hurts, you know, he's played good. He's got good talent around him, good line, good defense. You know, he's thrown for, you know, 576 yards, one INT, one touchdown. I mean, if you compare him to Tua, Tua's thrown for 739 yards, seven TDs and two picks. So those two guys, you know, who is falling out, I think, better than Hurts is.
And
that's my thought process on that. If he's that quarterback that can be a game manager for this much talent, he'll be good. But he's he's not going to be a perennial Pro Bowl, All-Pro type of a player, in my opinion. Hurts, that is.
Good stuff. Yeah, we'll touch base on two in a quick second. I do want to talk about Jalen Hurts and how his play and if he has solidified himself as the Eagles, you know, quarterback of the future. You remember Scott Richmond, Rob, one of the guys we used to work with in ABC?
Yep.
He's so excited about this. And I was like, I just said two words. I said Carson Wentz. He's like, shut the hell up. But he was pissing me, you know, because, you know, we were talking about I used to give him a hard time. But, you know, again, that's the way to temper him. But they've been playing well. And you have to go back to, obviously, what happened in the playoffs and they got beat by the Bucks. And he talked about how that loss affected him, right? And hopefully, you know, losses can impact you how you prepare for the season. So you wonder if that has something to do with his development, his play. Right now he's saying all the right stuff, but until you actually put it on the field, that's one of the conversations. You got to give credit to Nick Sirianni, obviously, and just the defense. And everything seems to be coming together right now. It's still early. We're only 2 weeks into the season, but right now, as we've talked about, they're in the top five as much as, you know, Gary Curtis hated to put the Eagles there. But I definitely think he's doing things right now. We'll see how the season progresses, but you do have to like the start as far as what's happening with the Eagles. I'll throw it to you, JQ, your thoughts on that as well.
I'm sorry, which one?
JQ is the has he solidified himself as the Eagles quarterback of the future?
I mean, yeah. Oh, got you. I mean, you don't want to get too high and get too low, right? Like it's week two. But I would say so far he has, and I give him a ton of credit because we talked about it. He had all the pressure on him coming into this year. You drafted Devontae last year. You had a good tight end in Goddard. You went and got A.J. Brown. You drafted those Stills from Georgia to put on the defense. You had Darius Slay at cornerback. It was like, hey, man, we've got all the recipes to be a really good team. It's a battle Dallas for that division. So with all that kind of pressure to come in and play as well as he's played in the first two games, I give him a ton of credit for that. But, you know, you can't get so high on it because if he comes out and stinks for four games and the crowd starts booing him, then, you know, we'll have to revisit the conversation midway through the season. But so far, so good. Yeah, like I said, I give that dude a ton of credit. His ball placement, the way it looks coming out of his hands, just seems so much better. You know, it doesn't look like he's trying to play quarterback. He's made good reads, good decisive reads. When it's not there, he's taking off and he's sliding. And then that run where he just barreled through four people and got in the end zone, like, you know, that dude Jalen does, like, squat 600 pounds. So he's a big, strong kid. So I give a ton of credit for coming to the season with all those expectations and whatnot and showing improvement. But I can't say for sure yet because, you know, Philadelphia is a fickle town, man. You better keep playing well or they'll turn on your ass.
That's true. You know,
they'll turn quick.
For certain. They're hoping that Curtis and Gary hoping that they actually implode on themselves, too, so for sure. That's exactly right. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, in the words of Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? And right now, Jalen Hurts is on a roll. So if you ask anybody that question today, of course he's the quarterback of the future, right? But he's got to keep doing it, right? He can't just, you know, start fading. And it's all about what have you done for me lately. And right now, he's a hot ticket right now. He's playing phenomenally well. He's getting it done with his arm and with his legs, making really good decisions with the football. So right now, yeah, I mean, you put up 38 points in week one. You put up 24. I mean, it's kind of quiet in the second half, but ahead of a, you know, great first half. So right now, you know, the answer would be yes. But he's got to keep performing. You know, he can't live off two games here. It's what have you done for me lately?
Curtis, Gary?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. So right now, fantastic. You've got to play the Cowboys twice.
What did you think about the Bills last night, Curtis, Gary, West Coast, about how they dominated last night?
Well, like I told you, the Bills, you know, they're the most complete team in the league. There's but, you know, this is what they were saying. They were going through their schedule, and some of the guys on ESPN and NFL Channel were talking about, is this the team that's going to go undefeated? That's what they were talking about. Week two, they're talking about that. So I'm thinking, are you shitting me? In week two,
yeah, come on.
You're talking about a team that's going to go undefeated. You got to play all those divisional opponents. And you know how in those divisional games, have we all seen, you get some team that just absolutely sucks and they play like they could win the Super Bowl that game. And they come out and they bite you in the ass. Do I think they're a team that can go undefeated? No. But I do believe they are a team that can be the top seed in the AFC. And Curtis and I both agree on that. But they got to play Kansas City, you know. They got some tough games ahead of them. So I'm not seeing an undefeated season from the Bills. Like
no way.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
So let's talk about this. Again, I think me and JQ weren't really a fan of Kirk Cousins, and apparently, you know, he had that amazing start, and then it feels like, you know, again, brought back down to earth. And we talk about his challenges with primetime games for Kirk Cousins. So I'm going to throw it to you, Rob, and your thoughts about that, what's happening. And just, you know, again, the Vikings ran into, you know, pretty fierce, determined Eagles. So go ahead about that, sir.
Yeah, he's got a track record of not showing up in these primetime games, and it continued. And I think all of his interceptions were in the red zone last night, too. So, I mean, when the lights shine the brightest, this is when he falls apart. So if you're a Vikings fan, you want all of your games during daytime. You're at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock. You don't want any primetime games with Kirk Cousins because he just doesn't show up. And I mean, that was the Kirk Cousins that we thought we were going to see in week one, right? But right now, I mean, he still just has a horrible record in these primetime games, and he just does not shine well when it shines bright here. And even in the playoffs, you know, the interesting piece is the daytime playoff games, he's done well, but the nighttime playoff games, he has not. And so it's something about he just doesn't perform in these nighttime situations here in these primetime games. And he's got to figure that out. I don't know if that's a different routine. I mean, you got to give the Eagles a lot of credit, too. I mean, Darius Slay was outstanding last night.
Yeah.
And so you got to give them some of the credit. But some of those scrolls were poor decisions on Kirk's part, too. And he's got to figure that out as far as, you know, what kind of routine he needs to change from a nighttime perspective.
Call it the Kirk Cousin experience.
Yeah, and the other thing about it, too, is that I question, you know, some of, you know, the new coach's philosophy. Like, you can't be so dependent on Justin Jefferson. Like, it took them, what, 2.5, 3 quarters to get Adam Thielen his first grab? Like, Adam Thielen's too good to let that happen if you're going to give that much attention to Justin Jefferson. And then the fact is, like, if you got, you know, Cook in the backfield, you know, they try to get into it. But, like, give him some more swing passes. Do some more things to get Cook involved. He's probably your second best athlete, you know, behind Justin Jefferson, and they allowed him to neutralize him and get away from the game plan they got behind. But there are things you got to do. He catches the ball too well, you know, to just not be involved in it, you know. So I put some of that on there as well. But yeah, for sure, Kirk, just like you said, he just doesn't do it when it's time to play in prime time. And their quarterbacks are Andy Dalton, who was also like that. He played great at 1 o'clock, but you put that dude under the lights and he would freeze up on you. And that's who Kirk is. Until he can answer those questions, he can't take Minnesota where they want to go.
Yep. These first 2 weeks, too, so that's a really good point. They got to get him more involved, both in the running game and the passing game. He's been extremely quiet here in these first two. Even in the win against Green Bay, Dalvin Cook was extremely quiet in that game.
Right.
Well, they in Minnesota, you know, they treat Kirk Cousins like he's this big franchise quarterback, and he's not. He's a game manager at best. But every once in a while, just like we saw last week, can actually perform. But that's in a 1 out of every 3 or 4 games. And when you get to these big games, it's not Kirk Cousins. It's just like I called him last week. It's fool's gold. Fool's gold Cousins.
Yeah.
You know, and because that's what he's real shiny and bright, but he's got that gold on the side of his helmet that, guess what, it's not real. It's not the real deal. He doesn't have I think he overthinks things, and by him not wanting to make a mistake, it makes even worse mistakes. When he's in that groove and it's a game that's during the daytime, maybe early in the season, or, you know, he's just like I said last week, you know, they had a belly full of being hammered down by the Packers. So I just felt like that was the game where would be one of those games where Kirk Cousins performed decent, and he did. And then this week was same old Kirk Cousins. Now, he'll have a few more games, and he'll have enough of those games to where they'll string them together where he'll create some buzz in Minnesota. And there'll be a few of it that, you know, commentators will pick up on it or whatever. But then, like when those lights get bright, just like you guys said, he's going to fade and fade in misery. And he'll play scared. And when he plays scared, he throws late. He throws in the dirt. He throws high. He throws picks. He gets sacked. He makes mistakes. And that's been his whole career.
Welcome to the Kirk Cousin Experience. Rob mentioned that he doesn't play well at night. He is actually 2-10 on Monday night football games. And just to let you guys know, his own good news for the Vikings fans. Your next game is the next Monday night game is against the Patriots. Believe it or not, on Thanksgiving. That's your next night game. So you better hope and pray that something changes, wow, man. Because right now is a fool's gold, you know. Like you said, you better hope that postseason game is in during the day. So, listen, you know, you're going to be in some serious trouble.
You better start the backup quarterback.
We ain't getting that one. So we'll talk about that. All right. So this is tough. We got to throw it over to JQ. And it feels like the offense for the Bengals is still having some struggle with protection issues, right? So, JQ, it's your time to shine on this, man, because, you know, obviously we talked about strengthening the offensive line. Man, I don't know, sir. You got the floor, man. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, some of that is on the offensive line. Some of it is on the play call, and some of it is on Joe Burrow. Because, you know, of course, I watch intently when they play. If you watch it, the game has been the same game for 2 weeks in a row. They get out there. They don't do anything in the first half. The defense is tired. They go out there and they make Trubisky and Cooper Rush look like Joe Montana and Tom Brady for a half. And then they figure it out on defense a little bit in the second half, and then the Bengals find a way to get in. They're taking a lot of field goals. He's actually taking a lot of sacks where you see him step back, and it's supposed to be a 3 or 5 step drop, and it's supposed to come out. But he's looking for that big play to chase Higgins all the time. And, you know, it's to the point where I don't blame the offense all the time. Yeah, they look rusty. Those three guys, none of them played in the preseason. They were trying to make sure they didn't get hurt, especially Collins, given what happened last year in Dallas. They want to kind of put him in a bubble. Until the season started, and sometimes you guys watch out, you just got to get hit and hit somebody and get it going. And they look like they're rusty. He looks rusty. It looks like he's trying to do too much. And a piece of it is also that Kansas City syndrome from last year. Remember we were talking about Patrick Mahomes, and it was like, why is he struggling so bad? Well, it's because teams were saying, I'm not going to let Tyreek Hill just race down the field on us. We're going to make you go dink and duck, and then you catch a slip and you can go over the top. But you're just not going to come out and go over the top on first or second down religiously. Well, you got to be a good team last year. Cincinnati teams are game planning for you. Where are the adjustments to the adjustments? And that's the biggest problem I have with what Cincinnati is happening. They got to have Burrow. They got to get better protection for sure. But Burrow and the offensive coordinator, him and Zach Taylor have to get together and figure out an offense to where, you know, you take advantage of flooding the zone here and there and doing some other things if they're going to sit back like that. And you got to be able to run the ball if they're going to have two safeties sitting back. And they just aren't doing that enough. You get glimpses of a good run, then they want to have the Jamar Chase and T. Higgins show. It's like sometimes you got to run them out of that. You got to dink and dunk to get them to come up and then go over their head. So, to me, it's a lot of things just outside of the protection issues. They've got to learn that when you become a good team in other people's eyes and they game plan for you and they start to take you seriously, you have to make some adjustments to their adjustments. And until they do that, they're going to keep losing close. They're going to lose games. They got to go play Kansas City and Buffalo. If they take that shit to Orchard Park or the Arrowhead, they're going to get their doors blown up. So, you know, mm-hmm. I hope they're having those conversations with themselves. But to me, I won't just put it on the line. There are some times they have that line issue, but a lot of it is just a philosophy change that they kind of have to have to move forward.
Good stuff. Anything to add to that, Rob?
No, I mean, I can't argue with JQ talking about his own team. So, I mean, he knows the team better than all of us.
I'm just being honest and watching it. You know what I mean? Like, they've got shit they got to work on. And we talked about it before. Sometimes it pays to play some in the preseason. They just look real rusty. And they got some shit they got to work out, this young team trying to prove themselves to be good. I think Buffalo kind of had those things with Josh Allen. They had to work through. Kansas City had to work through it. You know, I think it's just Joe Burrow and the Bengals and Zach Taylor have to work through it as well.
And now,
well, I think they overvalued Collins. You know, we saw Collins in Dallas, and I think they overvalued him. I think, you know, I watched him with the Cowboys put Dak in harm's way many, many times. It just seems like sometimes he plays timid or scared or something is what it looks like to me. And but I think the offensive core, I don't know if it's the offensive coordinator or I don't know if Joe's changing the plays at the line or whatever, but he's taking if you look at the two teams, if you look at how Tampa Bay protects Brady, who's a statue, right? He's not mobile. So they have him get that ball out as quick as he out of his hands. And the Cowboys were still able to get to him. Not like they were able to get to Burrow because he was out of his hands. But he's got that long, you know, five-step drop or whatever, and he's looking for that deep ball. And I don't know if that's him changing a play or if it's that offensive coordinator that's always going to that long ball. But if he did, it's about adjustments. And if they don't create some adjustments, some quick little outlets for him and create a little hesitation with those guys rushing in, it's going to be a long season.
Agreed.
I believe that they will, but if they don't, and sometimes they don't, sometimes – we just see we see teams where you're watching two teams and then teams come in and they copy what that other team did and the success that other team's had. Hopefully they can create those adjustments and they can move forward and get back to winning ways. But if they stay these last, you know, last 2 weeks, it's going to be a tough one. And you're putting a quarterback, a phenomenal quarterback, in a really bad situation where he can get hurt. And that's what you don't want to see.
Great. And just to piggyback, and I don't want to keep a Bengals conversation, what exacerbates is that in these first 2 weeks, they played two elite defensive ends. When you did that and you didn't have your protections all the way set up because they're shaky, you get T.J. Watt in week one and you get Micah Parsons in week two when you don't have a great game plan for adjustments. Yeah, he told the ball too long. But the rest of the people disaster, right? So it is compounding it when you face two guys that are probably going to end up top five between both of them and probably in the sack where T.J.'s hurt. But if he wasn't hurt, you know, those guys are going to be, those are elite pass rushers. And if you don't have your shit together, it's going to be a long day at the office.
That's true. Hey, Curtis, Gary, staying with you guys. Let's talk about, and I know Jake Cuban, I want to hear this. Let's talk about the surprise of the Cowboys. Again, I said it coming out of the show, Cooper Rush. I mean, the Dolphins had, or it's not Dolphins, I'm sorry, the Cowboys had an amazing game plan. And again, like you talked about, Rob said earlier, Micah Parsons was going nuts. What's for you, man? What a great game from the Cowboys.
Curtis and I talked about this. And we both picked Cincinnati. I picked Cincinnati big, and I was serious. I thought the Cowboys' defense was elite enough to hold them down in the first half and then get tired, and I thought that Joe Burrow was just going to eat them up in the second half, which he did. They played well in the second half. And I did not think Cooper Rush was going to have a game. He had a great game against the Vikings last year when Dak went down for a game. And he came out and, you know, he made a believer of me that at least he's a competent, you know, number two receiver. And they really didn't change a lot of their offense. They did pretty much what they were going to do. with that. They did it with, you know, they did it with Cooper Rush, which I was surprised by, but they did it, and he was successful at it. You know, that fourth and long two, they go for it, and they throw the ball, and they get that 14-yard completion. You know, it's these sort of things that they would do with Dak that I thought, well, they're going to, you know, they got to punt now, but they went for it. And so I'm really happy for Cooper Rush. You know, when you're a player that, you know, that come out of Central Michigan and you, you know, you get, you're
Eastern
on a
Carolina
practice squad and this sort of thing. And, you know, you never know, you know, from, you know, 1 week to the next what's going on. I think he solidified himself as a solid number two. Now, it's one game, and we had a great defensive show, and we had, you know, so we'll see. It's one game, but I do think they will beat the Giants next week with the Cooper Rush led team.
Look at the confidence. I got to be honest, Gary. I mean, like I said, I mean, I know we were kind of like, yeah, you know, we I know we were kind of making jokes about Cooper Rush. Maybe that was just me, and not because of, you know, I just wanted to make jokes. We just didn't know. Like, we didn't have enough film to kind of figure out how he's going to play against a pretty good Bengals team, you know. So, obviously, we kind of felt maybe the defense and offense was, you know, you may have a slight edge, and, you know, for the Bengals, but you know it's going to be a good situation. But you just didn't know how Cooper Rush is going to play. So, I think that's, like, a phenomenal situation. They're really confident right now, and if you're a Cowboys fan, I can see how you're like, we may have something here. So it's not like doom and gloom. It's actually a really good situation for the Cowboys, surprisingly, I would say, honestly. Anything else to add to that, Rob, or what?
No, I mean, we touched on it earlier. You know, I was really more impressed with their defense than anything else. I know Cooper Rush, you know, played solid, but I thought their defense was outstanding, particularly Michael Parsons, at least. I mean, he's playing lights out. I mean, even in the loss of the Bucs in week one, he was phenomenal in that game, too. And he's definitely in that conversation right now, top five defensive player in the league. Could very well place an argument that he might be one or two, right? But he's doing it all. He can drop in coverage. He can rush the passer. He's so versatile. He can do so much. And such a valuable piece. And that was a heck of a draft pick that they made here a couple of years ago.
Good stuff. All right, gentlemen, is it officially Tua time? Let's talk about what's happening with the Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa. And this is interesting, right, because I know, Gary, you said this earlier as far as the stats, almost 700 yards, 7 touchdowns. I do want to talk about what he's doing literally in the previous game versus the Ravens, how he had 469 yards, 6 touchdowns, something crazy. He's the fifth quarterback in history, only the fifth, to throw 4 passing touchdowns in the fourth quarter, which is a great stat. I was pretty surprised about that. And he also tied the franchise record for passing TDs that was actually set by a legend, Dan Marino, as well as Bob Greasy. And it kind of goes back to what's happening with that offense. And I want to make a great point as far as the wide receivers, right, the weapons that he has. This takes us back to the Marx brothers, Mark Super Duper, and then Mark Clayton. They were both 5'9". Now, let's tie the comparison. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are actually 5'10". And it feels like kind of a resurgence was what's happening with the Dolphins, but you add that running game, you add the innovative play calling with Mike McDaniel, and the Dolphins look like they're making some noise. Again, no one's talking about you crowning their asses. They're the champions, but right now, you look at it, it's Tua time. He's playing very confident. Again, that running game, it's always the quarterback's best friend. And we should definitely start talking about Tua in this conversation. And again, we have a really big game versus the Bills. It's going to be a situation to see where you're going to measure yourself, if you will. But this is a good situation to actually pay attention to what Tua is doing. He's getting a lot of confidence right now. What say you about that, JQ?
And the thing about that is we got to monitor Micah Hyde, right, because he got hurt in that Bills secondary in that game. So that's a big thing, you know, when you got to deal with, you know, the Tyreek and Waddle and to a lesser degree, you know, Gesicki, the tight end. I think it's a big game. I think it's a measuring stick game for them. I think we know who the Bills are, right? We've seen them. I think we know who the Bills are. I'm with Gary. there's no freaking way they go undefeated. They're going to, somebody's going to get hurt, something's going to happen where it's snow or something foolish, or where they just don't, maybe don't play their best and they stub their toe. But I think we're still trying to figure out who Miami is. So to get this out there for them, to get them, you know, go 2-0 in the third week, you get a big measure state game against Buffalo, and, you know, you get a chance to see them again later on in the season. But, you know, it gives us a glimpse, and also Miami is going to see who they are. But, yeah, Tua look good. But, again, it's the same thing with Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts had the most amount of pressure, then Tua was a close second or third, right? Because Waddle is good. We went and got you Tyreek Hill. You had a good tight end. We upgraded the defense. Yeah, like, he had a ton of pressure on him, too. But the reason I picked Miami in that game against Baltimore, you have to talk about it in terms of their collapse, is that they lost so much in the back end that I felt like Tyreek and Waller could have that big game. I was more surprised that they fell behind that fast, you know, in that game, and they had to come back from that far behind. I thought it would be a little bit more in this touch, and they would pull away at the end. I didn't think they would have to have a massive, massive comeback, given just the state of the Ravens secondary, right?
Yeah.
So that was what really caught me off guard about that game. Not that Miami won, just the fact that they took them so long to figure it out. But give Tua credit, he figured it out. But, again, he's in the same boat with Jalen. You know, if he plays like a bum for 3 weeks in a row, we're going to say, oh, well, the fools go like Kirk Cousins. They, you know, they can't sustain it. So, you know, you can't anoint him quite yet. But, you know, 2-0 is 2-0. You get off to a good start. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, this is Tua's third year, and he's number six overall pick in the draft a few years ago. So this has to be Tua time. This is his make-or-break season, right? This is when he has to prove that he's deserving to be the future quarterback in Miami Dolphins. This third season, he spent the number six overall pick in the draft on him. It's time for him to step up. Doesn't have the arm strength that Dan Marino had. You might have the same weapons and receiver that Marino has. But he's just got to be smart with his placement with the football, and he's off to a really good start doing that. I know he had the sideline pick to Marcus Williams in that game, but other than that, you know, he was pretty efficient with the football, ball placement, buying time in a pocket, and with his legs. So doing all the things he needs to do to be successful, right? So, I do expect that he's going to continue to improve, continue to be better. I don't think they're going to beat Buffalo. I know Miami's at home this weekend. I don't think they're going to beat Buffalo. I like Buffalo to go on the road and win this game by 10 points. I just think Buffalo is just playing lights out right now. But I do expect the Dolphins to be a playoff team and be the second-best team in that division. And I do expect that you're going to continue to see better football from Tua. And like I said, yeah. They spent the number six pick in the draft on him. This is what you expect from the guy that's drafted in that position.
I would agree with that, Rob, and I do think that this is the early measuring stick, and I'm sure that, you know, if the teams are circling those games, you know, this is – they knew from just from last year that the Bills were the – you know, they were the team to beat. And so I'm sure that the Dolphins have circled this game. Now let's see if they can perform well. I don't think that they have to win the game for me to decide that this is for my thoughts on Tua as far as being that guy for the Dolphins. But they do have to be competitive. If they go in there and they just get trounced, not only is it going to be it's going to weigh heavy on his mind, and how does that affect you moving forward? Some players have that ability to shake that off and move forward, and sometimes that type of a game can define you. So we'll see how it goes for him. I'd like to see him make it close. I don't know if it's going to be close, but if the Dolphins can keep it close, then and they can hang their heads high that they battled the best team in the league right now. Then they can move forward in a positive light. I do think they are the second best team in their division,
though. Nice, we agree.
Rob, are the Broncos in trouble, Rob?
It's too early to say in trouble, but they don't look like a division winner or Super Bowl contender. But it's still too early to say in trouble, right? And you know, we got to put this in perspective. Russell Wilson did not have a great season in Seattle last year either. And so you have to be a little worried about that as well. But Nathaniel Hackett is off to a rough start, right? His time management, his play calling, his decision-making, his moves as a head coach has been very underwhelming so far this season. So I still think it's way too early to push the panic button if you're a Broncos fan. I mean, you're 1-1 to start the season. Most of the teams in the league are 1-1, right? So it's way too early to push the panic button. I think the thing you have to be pleased with if you're a Broncos fan is their defense. I think overall you're seeing them play pretty well on the defensive side of the ball. If they can get Russ to start to cook again, and, I mean, it's not out of the question, right? He's been successful most of his career, but right now it's way too early to push the panic button if you're a Denver Bronco fan. But I will say their first two games have been very underwhelming.
Yeah, as me and Dre picked them to come out of that division, I agree with you. To me, it's more on Hackett. Like, when they played that game against Seattle, like, they came out and did nothing but naked bootlegs and throw it to the tight end. Like, Russell Wilson was a rookie. And I was sitting there watching that game, like, when you got Judy and Cortland Sutton and K.J. Hamler, why are you doing that kind of play calling when you just this dude all this money? And then you go for a 64-yard field goal when you got a $200 million quarterback. Like, there's some things I just don't understand that he's done. Like you said, his time management has been abysmal. I won't put a ton on Russell last year because I think Russell was trying to do too much. He came back from that hand injury too soon. You could tell it was affecting the way he was throwing the ball. And this is also a new offense. You've been running the same offense for how long has he been in Seattle? What, 8 years or something like that now? You go to a new one. Yeah, you've had the offseason. I get it. But sometimes it takes a little time to get comfortable because he's used to being able to take off plays from, Pete Lemon called this play. I know I can do this. I don't know how comfortable quite yet he is in switching off at the line and having the comfort in there. Takes time to get chemistry with your wide receivers. So I'm not going to push the panic button quite yet, but I think a lot of that is not so much on Russ to me. It's more on Hackett. He's got to do a better job. I don't know if he doesn't need to call the plays as trying to be a first-year head coach or what he has happening, but I think as he grows, the Broncos will grow.
I would agree with that. I put less on Wilson and more on whoever's calling the plays, head coach, offensive coordinator, whoever it is. And we wouldn't even be having this conversation if they would have at least kicked a damn field goal inside the damn 5-yard line or whatever, instead of all those mistakes. But I don't think they're quite in trouble yet. And as it looks right now, boy, it's going to be hard to win that division, but anything's possible still. But I'm doubting it. I picked them, but
I still think
they're a playoff team.
Kevin Garnett trying to tell y'all
anything's possible.
Yeah, well, the Raiders are making sure that they don't. The Raiders are making sure they don't finish in the basement because, good Lord, that collapse against Arizona was bad.
It's funny because we talked about. I love how we're talking about this topic because I can definitely add a couple of coaches that are on you put this later, Rob, coaches that are on the rise and on the decline. Unfortunately, I got Zach Taylor on there, but I also have Nathaniel Hackett on that list too because, man, you talk about somebody that's just not – I'm still giving him grief from last week, but you're like – you basically had a Porsche and you made it into like a freaking Pinto. I don't know why you're doing this, man. and so that's my two cents. And then I also gave an honorable mention to Herm Edwards, I just had to throw it out there, man. Just anyway, on the decline, man. But
yeah,
I'm joking, man. Come on, man. You play the win again. He's got fire.
The only coach I have on the decline is actually Matt Rhule from the Carolina Panthers in the NFL. I mean, this is his third season. They're off to an 0-2 start. And if he doesn't do anything this season, he's going to get fired. So right now he's the only coach I have on the decline. I'm not ready to put Zach Taylor in that role yet. They went to the Super Bowl last year. I know they off to, a disappointing 0-2 start, but I'm not ready to put him in that category. So Matt Rhule is the only one I have on the decline. But I guess you got to be impressed with Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I'm open.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I keep getting his name messed up all the time. Michael McDaniel, you got to be
all
impressed with him. Nick Sirianni, obviously you got to be impressed with him. Brian Daboll with the Giants, man. Who would have thought they would be 2-0 right now, right? I know both of those games are close.
I got
a total of 4 points to victory. Quietly, Dan Campbell with the Lions. I mean, they were in that game against the Eagles.
I put him down, too, Rob. I'm glad you got him on there. Yeah, I got him down.
And, you know, Doug Peterson, you know, 24-0 win for Jacksonville. And, you know, can he turn the ship around? And Todd Bowles, too. I told you, their defense has been lights out here in these first two games. So, but Matt Rhule is the only one I have on the decline category. 0-2, he don't turn it around. He's done.
This is a shout-out to Rob and Michael McDonald.
I didn't call that dude Michael McDonald about 5 times today.
Wait for it. I would definitely say the Ravens.
Like, man, Mike
McDonald. Absolutely on the decline. I wouldn't put Zach Taylor. I wouldn't put him on the decline yet. I think the he'll right the ship. Vikings defensive quarter. What's his name? Ed Dontell or Donatel or something.
And he must be about 85 years old. That dude been defensive coordinator in the league since the 1970s.
I understand that. You know, at some point it's time to go on the right. Doug Peterson. Well, the Eagles defensive corner, that Jonathan Gannon, I think he's on the rise, too. He's got his defense playing well. Those are the ones I have for the rise. And then
it's funny.
Fine.
I had
all
Doug
right,
Peterson.
Ed Donatell is only 65. He just seems like he's 85.
That's funny, Rob. I had Doug Peterson, Wink Martindale, Mike McDaniel, Nick Sirianni, and Dan Campbell on the rise, which is crazy because I was thinking the same thing the way that the Dawgs. We got to finish. We got to learn how to finish. So Dan Campbell was doing his thing too, man. So, again, that's what's happening too. So, you know, just little things that we got to talk about. Let's talk about what's happening with the 49ers. And, you know, I know big, huge blow with Trey Lance, another big blow losing their running back, Price Davis. Their running backs are going down. But I do want to kind of tag in the other subject as far as what happens to the 49ers if Jimmy Garoppolo takes them to the playoffs, I guess is the question, too, or deep run. So what are the 49ers going to do? And we talked about that. They got Jimmy G as kind of an insurance policy because Trey Lance was kind of struggling. My family on the West Coast, they're hating the way that Shanahan's calling plays. They call him Shamahan. They just hate the way that he's calling plays and stuff like that. And just so it's pretty interesting. But the 49ers, they're looking pretty smart with this move with Jimmy Garoppolo. He came in, you know, kind of rides the ship again and that familiarity with the offense. Again, we know who he is. I still don't think he's the guy, but kind of that what if is out there. What if he does take him to the playoffs? What do the 49ers do? It's like, shit, now we got to pay. What happens to the 49ers if one of the worst case scenarios, right? So what does it look like? Thank you. Go ahead, man.
I tell you what, I told you going into it. I feel like I'm not glad that man got hurt because that was bad. That's a record. You don't ever want to see that happen. But for the 49ers season, that might have been having to put Garoppolo in without it being a controversy because he was playing bad might be the best thing that ends up happening because I think they do make the playoffs. And I think they're going to have to say, okay, we're going to have to let him go. It's trading out. It's your team. But for this year, for what they want to do this year, I think Jeff Wilson Jr. is enough to hold down the fort. They just signed Marlon Mack off the practice squad to be his backup. He's been serviceable in Indianapolis for, you know, six more weeks until they get Mitchell back. But in terms of Jimmy G and what he does with Deebo Samuel and Ayuk and Kittle when he gets back in the game, what that defense can do, for the run that they want to have, I don't know if they would have got that run with Trey Lance because you got to deal with a young quarterback who hasn't played a lot of football, you know, that was 2 games in college and coming to the city. So for them, I hate it for him as a person. But for the 49ers team, with what they want to do, I think being able to plug him in and not hurt his feelings, Trey Lance's feelings, is probably the best thing to happen to the 49ers season.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, if they make a deep run in the playoffs, now look, the 49ers won the NFC Championship game last year, and they decided to go with Trey Lance this year. So, I mean, they made a deep run last year, and he benched him, right, at the start of the season. So here's the deal. Jimmy G is going to have to be lights out and take this team to win a Super Bowl for him to be a starting quarterback going the next season. That's the way I mean.
Lights out.
So they went to the NFC Championship game last year with them, and they came back and benched him. So, I mean, he's going to have to play lights out, and they're going to have to win the Super Bowl for him to solidify that job going into next season. Hey, they gave up a lot of draft capital to move up and get Trey Lance. They want to see what this kid can do, and they're going to give this kid every opportunity to win this job. I agree with JQ. It's probably the best thing to happen from a competitiveness standpoint for this season, but I think he's going to have to be lights out. I mean, they won that game this past Sunday. Jimmy G was not lights out. I mean, I know it's not always easy to come in a reserve role, so we'll see what he can do going forward, but he's going to have to be lights out and this team to win the Super Bowl for him to be, hey, this is your team. You're going to be the starter going into next season.
Well, they didn't have teams beating down the door for Jimmy G, and there's a reason for that. So can he go in and perform for him and be a game manager? He can. That's a solid team. That's a playoff team. But Shanahan does not like him at all. Shanahan, I watched him so many games, look over there, and he's rolling his eyes, and he's like, what the hell, you know? He wants somebody out there that can make something happen. And Jimmy G is really not that guy. And he never has been. He's got a good record. But I do agree that he would have to overcome the dislike from your head coach as much as he dislikes Jimmy G. You would have to go out there and win him over with a Super Bowl ring. I don't see that happening.
Fair enough. Rob, good stuff. Who was that? Was that Sean Merriman that was lights out? Didn't he do that, like, lights out thing back in the day for the Chargers? That was him. He was, like, trying to do that. We got literally about to get in the 2 minutes. Mark here. So, Rob, I guess before we get ready for the OT, we can start with the fantasy shout-outs, and we'll get ready for the OT portion. We'll probably have a brief OT because everyone has got a busy day. I know JQ, your monitors and stuff, too, so you want to go ahead and do that. Actually, let's get this going here. We'll get the OT set up, and we'll go into the fantasy shout-outs from there, too, if you don't mind, Rob.
All right. Am I doing the fantasy shout-outs now? Or after the OT?
Nah, we'll go into that because it's literally, we got 2 minutes left here, so go ahead.
Okay. All right. Wait, I'm still confused. Am I doing
the
shout-out now? I don't know.
Close the show.
Close the show.
Close the show. Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry about the confusion.
That's on me.
And gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with 12th man. We had a great show talking NFL football on tonight. We're going to have a brief OT portion, so you don't want to miss our predictions this weekend. I think we kind of gave you the predictions for the Dolphins and the Bills already, I think. But we'll get into some college football in our fantasy shout-out in the OT portion. East Coast, Buffalo and Miami, it's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be at you on Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern. We want to hear from y'all in Buffalo and Miami. Central Time Zone, Minneapolis, St. Paul, we want to hear from y'all. Kirk Cousins' favorite receiver last night was Darius Slay. We want to hear from y'all, you know, going forward. So what do y'all think about Kirk Cousins? Minneapolis, it's going to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time for y'all on Wednesday night on next week. Albuquerque, stand up. Balloon Festival next month, 9 p.m. We want to hear from y'all, too.
We'll be there.
Fresno State, y'all supposed to have a high-powered offense, only scored 17 points against USC. We want to hear from y'all, Jackson, Mississippi, California. It's going to be 8 p.m. on the West Coast on Wednesday night next week. We want to hear from y'all. Good night, people.
That man right there is a plum fool. Hey, Zach Taylor, get it together, bro. Dang it. Need some wins. You gotta get the win column. Yeah, he's stupid, man. I can't say nothing to that one. He riles off all the decisions.
Good stuff, Rob. Go ahead and do the fantasy shout-outs, my friend.
All right, fantasy shout-outs, ladies and gentlemen, after week two, league number one, and got to put myself on blast. I got my royal ass kicked. Purple Gold Patrol beat my team 180.86 to 80.50. So congrats, Purple and Gold Patrol and Sean in Atlanta, actually one of my high school classmates. Gentilly Hot Sausage, that's Corey from Atlanta, 2-0, best record so far, also one of my high school classmates. League number two, the biggest win of the week, Kid Cab 23 from New Orleans, beat Fleur de Lis 204 to 107.66. Kid Cab 23 in first place with a 2-0 record. League number three. Paul's sensational team. That's Paul from Atlanta with a 156.78 win over Kraken 87.86. And the Kings team is best record in the league, 2-0. That's Julius from the New Orleans area at 2-0. League number four, we want all the smoke. That's Rashad from Atlanta. His team won 127.88 to the Street Profits 72.14. And Casey Webb's perfect team. That's Casey in Atlanta, 2-0. Casey's a big Michigan Wolverine fan, by the way, from Detroit. Congratulations to our fantasy winners and shout-out to the week.
I mean, y'all take him down.
I love the digs. I love to get the digs, if you will. Again, I wanted to keep it pretty brief for the OC, so I'm going to throw it around the room. If you guys anything you wanted to talk about, I think we'll talk about the Bills' offense matchup. I think right now, I would, if I'm not mistaken, everyone feels like we're on the Bills' train for this one. This is going to be a tough game. You know, I do want to give the Dolphins credit for going into Ravens and beating them. But like we talked about, Marcus Williams, Rob, had a great game. He caught his range. Again, I think he just couldn't hold up. Tyreek Hill and Jaden Waddle were just kind of nightmares, if you will, too. But just what a great comeback, erasing that 24-point deficit. But this is going to be a tougher test, and I'm sure this is going to prove what's going to happen. I just think it's going to be a very, very entertaining game. So just something to point out as far as that, too. But, there's a couple things to talk about. We talked about I know I made a joke about Herm Edwards. He got fired for Arizona State. Is Deion Sanders a candidate for that? You know, that's the situation for that in Nebraska with Scott Frost. It's going to be tough because I think I was in Jackson, Mississippi. I know, JQ, but I was in Jackson, Mississippi, and it's interesting to see what he's building there, right? And I don't know, like I said, it's unique, right? Is it money? Is it situations? And I know we talk about this, and I do wonder if Deion would leave because he is building something he wanted to kind of do a lot for the HBCs down there, Tennessee State with Eddie George. There's a lot of things that are happening in that. So I am curious if he would kind of turn and run after all that he's trying to build in Jackson, Mississippi. I know it's just Jackson, Mississippi, but you do wonder if there's kind of more intangible stuff there too. So, you know, again, we can talk about that. I know Curtis and Gary definitely want to talk about Oregon, their comeback, you know, because, again, we were giving them all kinds of shit. But Bo Nix, man, he came through. What a big game. So the floor is your guys, whatever you want to kind of talk about. I know there's so many things, but Rob gave us a lot of topics to choose from, if you will, too. So I don't know who wants to go first, but you can raise your hand and kind of go from there and kind of knock it out for sure. So, yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I'll start first.
Go ahead, Gary.
Okay. I want to talk about the Oregon-BYU game. I thought Oregon came out and just beat them up on both lines, both of the lines. They beat them up. They pushed them around. They ran, 200 and some odd yards on them, and they did whatever the hell they wanted. I thought, the final score was 41-20, but the game wasn't even that close. The game was not even that close. And, as I look at Oregon's schedule the rest of the year, they've got to play Utah. I believe they play them at home, if I'm not mistaken. And USC's got to
play
Utah.
Utah beat that ass twice last year.
That's right.
Yeah, they did.
But they won't this year.
Damn.
Just like I told you that they beat BYU, they're going to beat Utah this year, just so you guys know ahead of time. And but USC's got to play Utah at Utah, and then they also have to play Notre Dame at the end of the season. I think it's at home. USC isn't even going to be in the Pac-12 championship. You're
they won't?
USC team. They won't.
Wow.
That's a pretty bold prediction.
USC will not be.
I know it's
not.
I know it's LA.
That's you saying.
Everybody wants to play in LA, and I know it's LA. And there's no players from California
that
play for the Huskies or play for the Ducks or play for Arizona, Arizona State, or go back east. They all just want to go. They all just want to go to. This is what you guys say. They all just want to go and play at home. But when you're a college student and you're a 4 or 5 star recruit, you're not looking at going to that school that you've been seeing your whole damn life, you know, 5 miles away. You're wanting to go somewhere else. You're wanting to go to Alabama or LSU or Notre Dame or wherever. You're going to want to experience something else. So they don't just have just the lock on that California market. Just to let you know.
I don't know. Hollywood, South Bend, Indiana. Hollywood, Eugene, Oregon.
If you've lived in Hollywood your whole life, Hollywood is Hollywood. It doesn't, you know, that's us. We didn't live there our whole lives. Okay, that's someone coming in from Texas or Florida or somebody like that. But if you've got a chance to go play at one of these other schools, they're looking at broadening their horizons.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know we put a lot of emphasis on USC and their recruiting base and things of that nature. But I think another factor we got to look at, too, Lincoln Riley, if you're a quarterback, you want to go play for him. I mean, did you look at all the guys he's put in the NFL here in the last 2 years and the Heisman Trophy winners that he's put out? So you got to think USC is going to be in contention practically every year because he's going to have a good quarterback. If you have a good quarterback, you're going to have a shot to be competitive. It may not mean you're going to win a national championship, but you're going to be up there competing, that's for sure. And he's going to be able to get some quarterbacks to come play for him, regardless of where they're coming from in the country. I'll just do a quick college football rundown. Right now, I think Georgia, if my four eyes are telling me correctly, they clearly look like the best team in the country. I mean, they're just more physical than everyone else. They look like men against boys. I mean, they're just dominating, and I hate to say it. I got Alabama at number two. I got Ohio State at number three. I have Michigan at four. And surprisingly, I have Oklahoma at number five, not Clemson. Dylan Gabriel has been outstanding at the quarterback position, and I actually have him in the Heisman conversation. He's not the number one candidate, but I have him in the conversation. USC, I have them at number six. I have them right behind Oklahoma. I have Clemson at number seven. Big wins for Penn State. Penn State went to Auburn and thumped them. True freshman running back Nick Singleton was out. So it's going to be interesting. That was a huge win for Penn State and the Big Ten going to the road and beat a SEC team. Washington, Pac-12 actually had a pretty good weekend. Oregon responded. USC got a big win. Washington beat Michigan State. And the quarterback transfer from Indiana, kind of forgot about him after all those injuries, but he actually played really well for Washington, and they're at 3-0. So surprisingly, the Pac-12 trying to show some life here all of a sudden. Arizona State, what are they going to do? It doesn't sound like Deion Sanders is a candidate. I personally think he should. I think Nebraska and Arizona State should be getting on the phone with him. When you look at what he's done with that program at Jackson State, I personally think he should be a candidate. And I think Arizona State is a sleeping giant, personally. When you look at, we talk about markets, you talk about the Phoenix market. They have a potential, if they can get the right coach in there, to really have something. So we'll see what happens from that standpoint. We talked about Heisman candidates. Of course, you still got C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young there as far as candidates are concerned. I like the quarterback. From Oklahoma, as I just mentioned. For quick predictions, Clemson at Wake Forest. I know Wake Forest got Sam Hartman back. I think Clemson would just be a little too talented. I think they'll go on the road and beat Wake Forest. Florida at Tennessee. Other than Florida beating Utah, I haven't been that impressed with Florida. Anthony Richardson has been solid, but did have a rough game against Kentucky. I like Tennessee in that offense. Tennessee's playing lights out on the offensive side of the football. I like them at home with Rocky Top. Arkansas at Texas A&M. Texas A&M is now starting Max Johnson as quarterback. Was not impressive at all against Miami. 10 out of 20 on the 157 yards. Texas A&M is struggling offensively, but I think they win this game with their defense. I think their defense will hold on and beat Arkansas by a field goal, 19-16.
Good stuff.
I'll be quick. I'm going to take Wake Forest. I'm going to take Wake Forest, Tennessee, and Arkansas.
Nice.
I agree with you on
that. We only agree on Tennessee.
What he's done down there, he should have an opportunity at some of these other coaching jobs, and I think he would do fantastic, you know, in Arizona.
And he'll be able to recruit. He's going to be able to recruit.
Yeah.
I would never say that.
What'd you say, JQ?
What's that? JQ?
I would never take the Nebraska or the Arizona State job. It's like taking the old Mississippi State job. You're still them for the most part as 8 or 9 wins. You may mess around and get to 10 wins here and there, but you aren't going to get to where you want to go, especially with the expectations of having Deion as your coach. I would hold off until I got a better job. I'm not saying they should consider him. If I was him, I wouldn't consider them. That's me.
Yeah, I mean, like I told you, I mean, I've actually visited, you know, I was actually within that market for a visit for, you know, working with my job, and it was like, Deion loves that place. He loves Jacksonville City. It's going to take a hell of a situation for him to leave. I mean, you talk about, yeah, it's a better situation, but I think he's doing so much with that, you know, with the school and just kind of what he's been trying to build, like I talked about with the HBCUs there. So, again, it's going to have to take something really phenomenal, but I just don't think he's kind of like trying to make that move. So that's just my thought, you know. But, you know, again, it's just you got to look at the situation for him and his family and what he's been able to accomplish. And he's been getting a lot of love there. But I digress. But hey, JQ, everything good work wise? You have making was this able a nice distraction for you to talk sports and everything like that for you? Well, you're going to be going for a minute or what?
Yeah, I'm still going. So I need to jump off here.
Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. All right, fellas, gentlemen, thank you so much for the opportunity again. It sounds like we're going to jump on the air next Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. We'll kick off the show. So, again, as we're doing that, be safe. I know it's been a crazy weekend. The month of September is flying. Can't wait to see what happens. Thursday night football is kicking off. And, again, right around the corner. So, gentlemen, be safe. Gary, appreciate you taking care of Curtis, as always. Rob, appreciate the topics. If anything you want to kind of transition to next week, you can most certainly do that. But other than that, have a fantastic week. Keep those funny memes going, too, man. The internet is always never defeated. We'll talk to you guys soon. Be good.
If you find some Nike paraphernalia, I wear a large. Grab me something. I'll send you the money.
All right. Gotcha.
All right,
fellas. Good night.
Bye, y'all.
I thought you wore an extra medium. Good night.
False. We're not talking about your T-shirt.
I know.
That's a medium.
Hey, I bought it myself. And I bought it. Fits me perfect. Look at this right around here.
All right, I'm not messing with you. I'm going to go talk to these people. Bye, y'all.
Good night.